is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Who Do You Say That I Am? We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Elvis Presley with Reach Out to Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
But I remember
remember that every once in a while my mother would have to put a little oil in it. The oil was called 3-in-1. And I always wondered, like, so I took the little can and I put a little oil out while my mother wasn't around. And I thought I'd see three different kinds of oil, but they all looked like one. They had all sort of coalesced together, you might say. 3-in-1. I was always a mystery to me about that 3-in-1 oil. Well, it seems that the verse in John for their three, but they're one, is a mystery to many people. And so they wanted to deny one part of it or another of that formula. See, God is a great mathematician, though, friends. There are three that bear record. And, don't ever forget that and. These three are one. Some people say, yeah, there's three. Other people say there's one, but they don't seem to come together. The person that says there's one says, no, there's not three. And the person that says there's three says, and they're not one. That's where you go wrong. You see, a lot of people just can't quite get it in their heads. They look at things from a manly standpoint. Now, science has a lot to say about the world, but it's continually proven wrong. I just read in the paper today, the newspaper and online, the startling news that scientists have given up predicting hurricanes. I'm not kidding you. Weather scientists say we have given up predicting hurricanes. Our predictions never come true, and really we don't have the science to predict them. I remember after Hurricane Rita and the big one that hit down here in, you know, down on the coast of Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, Mississippi and Alabama and so forth. Scientists, weather scientists says because of global warming, we're going to have worse hurricanes than this. Next year, we'll have 5 or 6. Did you know the next year there were 0? And the next year, they said global warming is going to cause, we'll have at least 3 or 4. Well, we didn't have any again. Then the next year, I think we only had like 1 or 2, and they were small. Now we see, you know, scientists saying, well, we were wrong. We were always wrong. Now, of course, they're having to admit that we're going into a period or been going into a period for about 11 years now of global cooling. Now they're all looking like a bunch of blithering idiots, which they deserve to look like. They should have all said before, this is a guess. But no, they said, we're scientists, and if you don't believe us, you're the one crazy. Well, now they're the ones nuts. Some people say, Tex, if you say there are three and they're one, that defies science. Oh, really? Well, I hate to defy science. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed to defy the scientist. But I love Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I accept this on faith. If you say to me, can you explain it scientifically? Well, maybe I can, maybe I can't. But it doesn't matter. I accept it on faith. I mean, can you imagine how much scientific knowledge man must possess compared to God? I don't think it's 1%. I don't think it's not even 1/1,000,000 of 1%, surely. And I just made up that number. See how imprecise and uncertain I am? God, the great scientist, God, the great mathematician. You can't keep up with God. Think about that. For by him were all things created. He created Adam and Eve. He created this earth. Jesus did. Well, it says in Revelation, he announces, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was already in the mind of God that he would be slain before the world was ever founded. Now, let me tell you something else just knocks your head off. Or it should. It's so shocking. He says that he's already chosen you. If you're of God, he has chosen you from the foundation of the world. Before your mom and dad were born, before your grandparents or great-grandparents or some first woman on earth, according to the you know, scientist named Lucy or whatever they call her. They're so dumb. But before the foundation of the world, you already were chosen for glory. And guess what? Those who creep into the church and try to destroy the church from within are have been foreordained for that condemnation. Judas came into this world for one purpose, to go to hell. I said, boy, that's a pretty cruel text. Hey, don't tell me what's cruel or what's not. Tell God. But you're wasting your time. It's not cruel at all. God determined it. He was foreordained for that condemnation. Jesus said it would be better if he were never born. A lot of people like that. I think our prisons are full of a lot of them. It would be better if these psychopaths who harm children, who are serial killers, it would be better if they were never born. Say, Tex, that's so cruel. You're just not a positive thinker. You got that right. But I have faith that God knows what he's doing, and he chose these people for that very purpose. You say, does that mean they can't be saved? No one ever said that. But they have a lot of redemption that they need, and they have repentance that they need. And they need sincere repentance. And then God, he works with that. And I might not think that they should be saved and go to heaven. You see, I'm a human being. And the Ted Bundys of this world, the Jeffrey Dahmers, I must admit, I am a cruel person, I suppose, because I would prefer that they not go to heaven. I would like them to go to hell for what they've done. I was watching television the other night, and there was this little 7-year-old girl that had been killed, and her battered body was found in Florida, ditched into a swamp. And all I could think of was, if I could just get my hands on that murderer of that little girl, if I could, I'd do horrible things to him. I don't know, maybe I should repent of that human desire. But even Jesus said it would be better that a millstone be hung around the neck of a man who harms a little child. Maybe I'm right in touch with God on that one. And yet God said he wishes, or it's his desire, that no man perish. I've got to go along with that too. Whatever God wants, he is the potter. He makes the pot the way he wants to. He forms it. You know, he's the one. Okay, Lord, you know better than me. And I have faith that he does. I sure would not want to be manager of this world and decider of the fate of every person, the destiny of every man and every woman, every child. I'm not intelligent enough to handle that kind of responsibility. Okay. Isn't that wonderful in Colossians? He's the creator. He was with God from the beginning. In fact, let's just go to John. Matthew and John, those are such powerful. Wow. You know, a lot of people ask me, is there a book I can learn about Satanism? I want to fight the Satanist in this world. I would like to know, is there a book somewhere that's been written that'll tell me all about Satanism? I said, oh, yes, indeed. That would be the New Testament. Not too long ago, I heard somebody was recommending people in the Christian church now buy Anton LaVey's The Satanic Bible and read it if they wanted to find out about Satanism. Well, how evil is that? I don't want anybody to read Anton LaVey's horrible book, The Satanic Bible. I want you to read the Gospels. I want you to read Matthew and John. You'll find out how to handle Satan. You'll find out how many times Jesus cast devils out of people and had the authority and the power. And he has given unto you, if you're part of his kingdom, he has given you the keys of the kingdom so that you may deliver people through him, not of your own power. That's right. There's the answer to Satan. Through Jesus, he has no power over you. Some say, Tex, aren't you afraid of fighting the devil and fighting all these secret societies and all these things? Look at all the bad things they can do to you. They can't do anything to me. The scriptures tell us, don't fear he who can throw you in prison and kill the body. Fear him who can throw you into hell and kill the spirit. You better fear God. He's the only one who has the right to decide your destiny. What's going to happen to you, not only in the world to come, but this one right now, God, Jesus Christ, who is one with God, is the only one who is the judge, who can decide. And he will decide. It says in Hebrews that we are all, we have a destiny, every one of us. We have one life. After that comes the judgment. One life. You can't keep working till you get it right, friends. You better know who your Lord is right now. You better be able to ask the question, who do you say that I am, when Jesus asks it of you. You know, John chapter 1 is an amazing passage of Scripture. And all of these false cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses have had to change the words of this passage because it's troublesome to them. Let's read what it says. It says, and we start off with chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ah, yes. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, no wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now we see why, yes, he is the life. He is the light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness cannot understand light. It cannot comprehend light. Wow. Verse 11. Let's skip to verse 11. Well, let's go to verse 10. I like it. You know, God repeats himself. He does. He's redundant. That's not a criticism. In fact, he does it on purpose. My good friend, Dr. Gail Ripplinger, wrote a little book. And I think it's called The Language of the King James Bible. Great book. She said God is redundant. He says things twice. I think he's a great teacher. You know, I have a master's degree in education, and I was taught, and through my Air Force training and education as an Air Force officer, I taught myself that you should reinforce learning. Reinforce it. Repeat yourself. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, talking of Jesus now, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own. That would be the unredeemed Jews who rejected him, and his own received him not. But, I like that word, but, a lot. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His own received him not. The Jews rejected him. They called him a blasphemer. They cried out, crucify him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you realize what it's saying there? Without God's help, your will isn't strong enough. A lot of people say, well, I have my own free will. I can reach out to God. Well, do it. That's wonderful. But unless God reaches out to you, it's a waste of time. See, that's the beauty of it. God reaches out to you. He accepts you. He knocks on the door first. You don't answer the door when nobody's there. They'll think you're insane, won't they? He knocks on the door. And it's up to you to open it, maybe. But he's there. In due time, if you never open the door and he keeps knocking, he'll go somewhere else, won't he? Sometime God comes and knocks on the door, and that's the acceptable time. You can't blame God if he exhausts himself with knocking and beseeching and crying out to you, and you keep rejecting him. Why should he knock forever? He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. But should I say it? Should I dare say it? You're a fool because you don't open the door. Your flesh cannot will your salvation. It doesn't matter about your blood. Well, I'm a Jew. I'm a whatever. Well, good for you. Go tell it to the devil. He has a lot of Jews down there with him in hell. If you say, well, my father and brother were royal blood. My name is Pippa Middleton or whatever name is. I just married, you know, Prince Andrew or what. Well, good for you. God, the devil has a lot of princes and kings and noblemen down in hell with him. So it's not blood that'll get you there. Not your will that'll get you there. God. Verse 14 is very powerful. The Word, remember the one who was with God from the beginning and was God and created everything? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.